chain. Hand me down my walking chain. Now hand me down my walking chain. I'm gonna leave on the midnight train, 'cause all my sins are taken away. If I'd listened what my mama said, if I'd listened what my mama said, now if I'd listened what mama said, I'd been sleeping on a feather bed, 'cause all my sins are taken away.
Hand me down my cane, my walking cane, hand me down that cane, hand me down my walking cane. Hand me down my walking cane, I'm gonna leave on the midnight train, all my sins are taken away.
Connie Boswell and Hand Me Down My Walking Cane. And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Bigly at Night here on Angel Radio. And if we're talking about canes, well, what about Helen Cane?
I'm not one of the greedy kind. All of my wants are simple. I know what's on my mind. I'm not resting until I find what would make your eyes glisten with joy. Now listen, big boy. I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you, love. I wanna be kissed by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be kissed by you, love. Papa, my goodness, why to anything higher than feel the desire to make you my own. I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you, love.
Boop, boop, you sort of always have to join in with a boop boop dee boop bit at the end there. Doesn't matter whether it's Marilyn Monroe singing it or Helen Kane. That was I Want to Be Loved by You. So welcome to the program. All the usual things in all the usual places as we have them here on the program. So all you really have to do is settle back and relax and enjoy. And to help you do that, not only Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, but we'll throw in Frank Sinatra for free.
And moonbeams all around a pug-nosed dream. The music started, and was I the perplexed one? I held my breath and said, may I have the next one? In my frightened arms, polka dots and moonbeams sparkled on a pug-nosed dream. There were questions in the eyes of other dancers as we floated over the floor. There were questions, but my heart knew all the answers, and perhaps a few things more. Now in a cottage built of lilacs and laughter, I know the meaning of the words ever after, and I'll always see polka dots and moonbeams when I kiss the pug-nosed dream.
Whenever skies look gray to me and trouble begins to brew, whenever the winter winds become too strong, I concentrate on you. When fortune cries nay, nay to me, and people declare you're through, whenever the blues become my only song, I concentrate on you. On your smile, so sweet, so tender, when at first my kiss you decline, on the light in your eyes when you surrender, and once again our arms intertwine. And so when wise men say to me that love's young dream never comes true, to prove that even wise wrong, I concentrate on you.
And that's the title, I Concentrate on You, from the lovely Lena Horne. All right, time to have something from Bing and sing in with him this week, the Andrews Sisters.
When the moon hangs low in Napoli, there's a handsome gondolier. Every night he sings so happily, so his lady love can hear. In the manner so bravissimo, he repeats his serenade, and his heart beats so fortissimo when she raises the Venetian shade.
Cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, 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 he waits for her each night beneath her balcony. Cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, he begs to hold her tight, but no, she won't agree. Cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, she throws a rose and throws a kiss from up above. Cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, they're so in love.
Spaghetti to me, Tony.
Cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, they're so in love.
Ah, cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, che bel faccin. Esquardo dolce, assassin. Cheer-a-bee-ree-bee, 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 che bel faccin.
Betsy, sweet Betsy, my fair prairie rose, so slender and pale in your mail order clothes, all decked out in ruffles and ribbons and rings, you're just like an angel, only where are your wings?
Oh, Betsy, sweet Betsy, let's change your name and stake a claim where cares will never find us.
Oh, Betsy, sweet Betsy, we'll hitch our dreams to a 20-mule team and leave the trail behind us.
Starch-collared Parson lives down by the gulch. He'd hitch us right up, but he charges too much. The old circuit rider will be just as nice. He'll splice for half price and bring his own bag of rice.
Oh, Betsy, sweet Betsy, we'll jingle spurs on cockle burrs where prairie dogs won't mind us.
Oh, Betsy, sweet Betsy, with nothing to eat but buffalo meat, no cares will ever find us.
Oh, Betsy, do tell what a swell howdy-do. Your cousins
by dozens will buy presents for you.
Cousins by the dozens will have
your old Aunt Aggie
and my Uncle John. He's got some acres I can use when he's gone.
Rawr.
Oh, Betsy,
oh,
my Betsy, you're the sweetest little Betsy I could ever find.
Ever find.
And you'll be mine.
Yes, I'll be yours.
Let's change your name and stick out a claim where cares will never find us.
sweet Betsy, my fair prairie rose. So slender and pale in your mail order clothes, all decked out in ruffles and ribbons and rings. You're just like an angel, only where are your wings? Oh, Betsy, sweet Betsy,
sweet Betsy,
let's change your name and stake out a claim where cares will never find us. We'll be there's love in them hills far away.
Whoopee-tee-i-ee,
just waiting for Betsy and me.
Andrew Singer singing with Bing Crosby this week. We heard Cherubirin and then Betsy, and we'll have some more from them at about the same time next week. Now, normally at this time, we have a tune from Holger's house, but Holger is actually off visiting his son and granddaughters in a village near Nuremberg, and that is where he sends us this song this week. It's Wilfred Sommer and the Otto Stensei mit seinem Tanz Orchestra. It's from 1939. Holger says, the lyrics say, I don't need millions, not a penny for my luck, only music, 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 just a trifle more for you. And it is, of course, called Music, Music, Music.
Weiter nicht als nur Musik, Musik, Musik. Doch eine ganze Kleinigkeit, die brauch ich noch dazu. Und diese große Kleinigkeit bist du, nur du, nur du, 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 du. Ich brauche keine Millionen, mir fehlt kein Pfennig zum Glück. Ich brauch nur deine Liebe und Musik, Musik, Musik.
Yes, that is where it's time to do the makeup. It's time to light the lights. The Muppet Show. Yeah. See, you learn so much on these programs, don't you? And that was Otto Stenzel mit Steinem Tanz Orchester and Music, Music, Music. And we thank Holger for sending us that little ditty, and we look forward to next week's offering as well. Thank you, Holger, so much, and have fun with your son and your grandkids. Time now for Ever Iris, a little bit of the program where we play some of Iris's favorite songs because Iris, very special to me. It was her that basically got me involved and subsequently on Angel Radio. So each week we play a couple of tunes in memory of her. This week, Nat King Cole and Martha Tilton.
Because you're mine, the brightest star I see looks down my love and envies me. Because you're mine, because you're mine, because you're mine. The breeze that hurries by becomes a melody. And why? Because you're mine, because you're mine. I only know for as long as I may live, I'll only live for the kiss that you alone may give me. And when we kiss, that isn't thunder, dear, it's only my poor heart you hear. And it's a plus, because you're that you alone may give me. And when we kiss, that isn't thunder, dear, it's only my poor heart you hear. And it's a plus, because you're
the seas, then tell me, please, how are things in Glaucomora? Is that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donny Cove, through Killybegs, Kilcarry, and Kildare? How are things in Glaucomora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that laddie with a twinkling eye come whistling by? And does he walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I ask each weeping willow, and each brook along the way, and each lad that comes a whistling tourlay. How are things in Lochamora this fine day? Ask each lad that comes a whistling tourlay. How are things in Lochamora this fine day?
For Iris, and this week we heard Because You're Young, not Because You're Young, Because You're Mine from Nat King Cole, and then How Are Things in Lochamora, which I think came from the film, and I want to say Babylon, but I know it's not Babylon, Brigadoon, there you go. The brain cells aren't quite as quick this morning, and for some bizarre reason I'm actually drinking coffee to see if I can improve it. It's not working so far. More Forever Iris around about the same time next week.
On a branch of a tree sat a little tomtit, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. An uncomfortable place for a birdie to sit, singing willow, tit willow. So I said to him, "Birdie, why don't you go away?" He said, "Dang's very much, but I'm planning to stay. I'm going to sit on that branch for the rest of the day, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow." So I said to him, "Bitey, you look so distraught, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. You're going to be glad when you'll see what I brought. A pillow, a pillow, a pillow." I said, "Bitey, your pardon I humbly would beg. Put this comfortable pillow right under your leg." He said, "Leave me alone while I'm laying an egg." Hey, willow, tit willow, tit willow. That night by the light of a matzo ball moon, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow, that birdie was singing the same catchy tune, willow, tit willow. And I came and I took him right down from his branch, and I brought him back home to my split level ranch. And I said to my wife, "Here's a gift for you, Blanche." He sings willow, tit willow. Next morning I got up and went to the shop, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. That tune was so catchy, it just wouldn't stop. Willow, 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 titty, willow, 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 titty, willow, 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 willow. That night I said, "Blanche, how's the bird?" She said, "Well, the bird was delicious. It tasted just swell. But as I fricasseed him, he gave out a yell. Oi, willow, tit willow, tit willow."
Believe it or not, it's the first time I've ever heard that. That was called The Bronx Bird Watcher, and it came from Alan Sherman. You're listening to Beagley at Night here on Angel Radio, and we're already half an hour into the program, and I'm having to ask you how you are this week. How are you? Did you have a good week? Just thinking back on my week, actually, it wasn't too bad. I managed to get my hair cut on last Wednesday, which was good. And that was about the only outing apart from the supermarket. Apart from that, it's really been quite a quiet week, but I don't mind quiet weeks. Quiet weeks are good. It means they're spent at home in good company with my wife, and we just enjoy the days together, which is exactly the way that it should be. So nice and quiet, which is, as I say, quite acceptable in the Beagley household. Time now for Beagley's Big Three. This is where we play three songs back to back to back from the same person, usually chosen by me, which is why it's known as Beagley's Big Three, but this week chosen by Eric up there in Strathclyde. Good morning to you, Eric. I hope you're well, and you would like to hear Mr. Burl Ives.
Mr. Noel Noel was a teacher in a school, giving a lesson one afternoon.
Little Tommy Tompkins was the dunce, and what a fool, didn't know which was the sun or moon.
Teacher said to Tommy Tompkins, "Well, see if you can sing this while you spell."
Constantinople, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N-O-P-L-E. Constantinople, it's as easy to sing it as saying your ABC. Show your pluck, now try your luck and sing it loud with me. Constantinople, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N-O-P-L-E. You may laugh at Tommy Tompkins, 'cause he couldn't spell Constantinople, but wait and see. If there's anyone who thinks that they can do it well, come on and try it along with me. You can show me just how much you know. Are you ready? Everybody go. Now try your luck and sing it loud with me. Constantinople, C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N-O-P-L-E. C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N-O-P-L-E.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. If I were king, dilly dilly, I'd need a queen. Who told me so, dilly dilly, who told me so? I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly dilly dress of lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll be my queen. Great grandfather met great grandmother when she was a shy young miss. And great-grandfather won great-grandmother with words more or less like this.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly, lavender green. If you were king, dilly dilly, you'd need a queen. Who told you so, dilly dilly, who told you so?
I told myself, dilly dilly, I told me so. If your dilly dilly heart feels a dilly dilly way, and if you answer yes, in a pretty little church on a dilly dilly day, you'll be wed in a dilly dilly dress of lavender blue,
dilly dilly, lavender green.
Then I'll be king, dilly dilly, and you'll
I met my sister the other day. I gave her my right hand, and just as soon as my back was turned, she was scandalizing my name. Do you call that a sister?
No, no.
Do you call that a sister?
No, no.
Do you call that a sister?
No, no. Scandalize my name.
My brother the other day, I gave him my right hand. Just as soon as my back was turned, he was scandalizing my name.
Do you call that a brother?
No, no.
Do you call that a brother?
No, no.
Do you call that a brother?
No, no.
Scandalize my name.
I met the preacher the other day, I gave him my right hand, and just as soon as my back was turned, he was scandalizing my name. Do you call that a preacher?
No, no.
Do you call that a preacher?
No, no.
Do you call that a preacher?
No, no.
Scandalize my name. Saw the bishop the other day, I gave him my right hand, and just as soon as my back was turned, he was scandalizing my name.
Do you call that religion?
No, no.
Do you call that religion?
No, no.
Do you call that religion?
No, no.
Scandalize my name.
Saw the mayor the other day, I gave him my right hand, and just as soon as my back was turned, he was scandalizing my name. Is that a public servant?
No, no.
Is that a public servant?
No, no.
Is that a public servant?
No, no.
Scandalize my name.
Well, three great songs there, as requested by Eric up there in Strathclyde from Burl Ives. First, we heard Constantinople, Constantinople. I think I got that right. And then Lavender Blue, Dilly Dilly, and finally, Scandalize My Name. Eric, thank you so much for that. Really enjoyed those three immensely. And if you would like to choose Beagle's Big Three for next week, just email me, roy@angelradio.uk. Let me know the artist and also the songs. And if you just want the artist and let me choose the songs, that's fine as well. I am happy to do either. And if you don't have access to email, then you can give the office a call during normal office hours on 0800-014-1955. And just ask whoever's answers the phone there to email me a message from you, and then just tell them what it is that you would like to hear. And they're very nice people there, and they will always do it. 0800-014-1955.
Angel Radio, old-fashioned quality.
Your constant companion.
I'm now for Tell Me a Story, and actually we have two stories this morning. The first is Harry Anderson, and he is talking about what it was like to be a London cabbie in the Blitz from August the 1st, 1943. And then we'll hear about Battle of Britain from a Spitfire pilot from June the 1st, 1941, Squadron Leader AVR Sandy Johnston. But first, here's Harry.
Speaking as one who's earned his living in the streets of London for over 20 years, it's my opinion that the London public are definitely in a class of their own. London's my city, and I can speak of it with authority. I've known London all my life, but I learnt more about the real spirit of London driving through the Blitzes in 1940 than I'd learned in all the years of peace. And I idolise London, now really I do. And I feel very sore when I see what Jerry's done to it. Now, take a working woman I once saw. It was down in a dock area. Now, she was a one, all right. John Bull's daughter, that's what she was. It was an early morning in 1940. We'd had a blitz the whole night through, and I was going up Whitehall when two gents stopped me and asked me to drive them to the docks. It turned out that they were government assessors and wanted to see the damage or something. Anyway, we got down there and the devastation was something terrible. There'd been tremendous fires raging all night, and in fact they were still burning. But everything was quiet now, or fairly quiet. Well, these two gents got out of the cab, and just at that moment the sirens went again. And then they stopped and everything was quiet. And then in the silence I heard someone singing. It was a woman's voice. It seemed to come from almost on the top of the wharves. Well, I thought, who the hell could be singing like that round here? And nosy-like, I got down to have a look. Mind you, it wasn't opera singing, you understand that, but it was just sort of music while you work. And just at that point, a terrific wall had crashed down and piled up. Well, I walked round this wall, or mountain of stones, and there at the back of all the miles of grey smoking rubble and broken glass was a couple of little houses. You'd been slightly blitzed, but they were still standing. And in front of one of them, there was a woman down on her knees, cleaning the front doorstep. She was well on the stout side, and she looked as if she'd been the mother of about 8 or 9 kids. She looked the sort who wouldn't leave her house unless she was carried out feet first. You know, as if she'd been born in that district and had all her children there and was determined to stay there, Hitler or no Hitler. Now I thought, I'm going to hear something. I'll bet she's going to tell me whether Hitler's mother and father were married. But what she said was, you ain't seen my bleeding milkman round, have you? Well, that took the wind right out of me. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm taking all this, well, too lightly. I've seen many horrible and terrible things since the war began in this city of London. And it's not easy to talk about them. Many a time I've had a dead or dying man or woman in the back of the cab. And the taxi cabs were often the first to arrive on the scene after a bomb had fallen. Like the Café de Paris night. The boys from our cab shelter at Leicester Square were the first on the scene that night. And of course, we didn't wait for the ambulances, although they were quick enough.
Harry Anderson talking about being a London cabbie in the Blitz. And now here is Squadron Leader AVR Sandy Johnson talking about Battle of Britain and being a Spitfire pilot.
After 4 months fighting in the south of England, my squadron has just come out of the front line, as it were, to an aerodrome in a quieter part of the country up north. We have had our casualties, of course, in these 4 months, as 6 pilots in the squadron were lost. During this time, scarcely a day passed without a combat. On many days, we were sent up 6 times to fight battles, often against large formations of the enemy. In the circumstances, we consider our losses were astonishingly light. On the other hand, our bag of enemy aircraft was 89 destroyed and confirmed, with many probables and damaged. So the Germans paid a stiff price for our losses, and each new successful engagement gave us fresh heart for more. My unit is the City of Glasgow Squadron, one of several auxiliary squadrons which have been fighting in the south. Within 6 weeks of hostilities, the squadron was engaged in the first fighter command action of the war, the raid on the 1st of 4th on October the 16th, 1939. In that action, the squadron helped to shoot down the first enemy aircraft to be lost in the present war over British soil. I had nothing to do with it personally. In fact, I rather distinguished myself by being about the only person in the squadron who did not fire his guns at something Teutonic that day. Truth is, I never saw any German aircraft in the air while I was up. My record, up till early this summer, consisted of having seen 2 German aircraft in the air when I was on the ground, and 2 on the ground when I was in the air. But not one sausage did I see in the air while I was flying. One night in June, however, when I was on patrol, a Heinkel came my way, caught in the beams of several searchlights. This turned out to be my first victim. When the target aircraft is brightly illuminated, as this one was, it becomes fairly easy to shoot it down, as you have the advantage of seeing without being seen. The one difficulty I did find was to be able to gauge the attitude of the target, since there is no background to it. It looks like something sitting stationary in midair, when, in fact, it is traveling at 200 miles per hour or thereabouts. After my debut, as one might call this combat, the squadron had several encounters with reconnaissance aircraft, mostly in ones and twos over the North Sea. But it was not until my squadron moved south, sometime after I had been given command of it, that we encountered the real Blitz. Soon after this, on one particular patrol, we were told to intercept a raid of about 100 enemy aircraft which were coming in from the south. We were informed that their height was about 8 to 10,000 feet, and that just about that height there was a heavy layer of cloud. Consequently, we split into two flights. One flight, which I was leading, went above the clouds. The other remained below to make sure we did not miss the raid by being on the wrong side of the cloud layer. As you can well understand, it's not possible for a pilot when flying an aircraft to hear any outside noises, and one has to rely entirely on seeing one's quarry. As it happened on this occasion, we did hear something of our prey. The enemy were using a wireless frequency which must have been very nearly the same as our own, for presently we began to hear them chattering away to each other like a lot of monkeys in a box. As we approached them, the chatter grew louder and louder. Then suddenly we spotted them. They were straggled out in large Vs of about 18 aircraft in each, just above the clouds. As we were only six in number against their 100 or so, we saw them a long time before they saw us, which, of course, gave us a big initial advantage. We were able to climb above them and get out in front of their leading formation. As we approached nearer, the Huns suddenly spotted us, and above all their chatter, a somewhat agonized voice came through as clear as daylight. Achtung, Achtung, Spitfeuern! At that, an amazing transformation took place, and the straggling formation closed up into a formidable mass, the ME-110s wheeling out from the front to form a protective circle round the bombers. Thanks to the advantage we had in position, three of us were able to dive head-on into the leading formation, whilst the other three stayed behind to play with the fighters. The leading formation of bombers broke up after our attack, and in ones and twos they sought refuge either in or below the clouds. Those who were stupid enough to go below the layer of cloud were pounced on by our other flight, which was still waiting for them. Theirs was a sort of vulture's job, and like vultures they did it. And then we all returned safely. The best bag the squadron had in one single action was on a day in August when we were detailed to intercept a raid coming in over Dorset. Once again we had the advantage of height, and this time of the sun also, and managed to knock down 12 of the enemy with a loss to ourselves of only two aircraft, the pilots of both of them being safe, having come down by parachute. While on the subject of coming down by parachute, a rather amusing incident occurred on another occasion. A very fat man bailed out of a Dornier which the squadron had intercepted at about 25,000 feet. Needless to say, everyone thought it was our old friend Goering doing another of his celebrated reconnaissance trips over this country. We circled around him while he was coming down, and it was ludicrous to see this enormously fat man dangling at the end of his parachute harness with his two podgy little arms stretched above his head. His landing was even more ludicrous. He touched down on the roof of an outhouse in a garden in Kent, went crashing through the roof, and remained there with only his head sticking through. The last we saw of him was his parachute descending slowly on top of him, obscuring the whole picture. Finally, I would like to take this opportunity of saying a word about the ground crews. It is usually the pilots who get the praise and the thanks. The job we do is little in comparison with the excellent and unremitting work done by the fellows who keep us in the air. They work for us day and night, and I never hear a grumble from any of them. They are just grand. And if any of them are listening in just now, I would like to say, speaking, I am sure, for all pilots, we take off our hats to them.
Your way, spend your time there. tomorrow. Tomorrow brings a new day. All in love, the moon and stars are free. Pour yourself a cup of old prosperity. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing welcome to happy times.
Cotton and his orchestra in Happy Times, and before that, in Tell Me a Story, we heard two stories. One from Harry Anderson, who was a London cabbie in the Blitz, and that was from 1943, and a couple of years earlier, from 1941, squadron leader A.V.R. Sandy Johnston talking about the Battle of Britain and being a Spitfire pilot. And we'll tell you another story about something else around about the same time next week. Right now, according to Andy Williams, although he's wrong, it's spring in Maine.
I remember spring in Maine, the gusts of rain, that country lane. And you, I remember fragrant pines that bear the signs of Valentine's. We drew, how you kissed me and how we laughed those windy afternoons, racing on the dunes like a pair of loons. I recall what might have been, and I recall the pain of coming back another year to find that springtime in the state of Maine is mainly a state of kissed me and how we laughed those windy afternoons, racing on the dunes like a pair of loons. I recall what might have been, and I recall the pain of coming back another year to find that springtime in the state of Maine is mainly a state of mind.
hears a cat in the window, and he's watching all the birds go passing by. He'd love to fly out the window, go where the wind goes, and so would I. Like that cat in the window, who keeps wishing for some wings to take a ride, I'd love to glide to a rainbow, off where the clouds go dancing by. And if I could fly, you wouldn't find me hanging around, watching the birds go by. Yes, the cat in the window has a tear.
The cat in the window and the bird in the sky, would you believe? And that came from Petula Clark. And before that, of course, it was Andy Williams and Spring in Maine. You are listening to Beagle at Night here on Angel Radio on FM in the Havant, Gosport and Portsmouth area, on various digital DAB whatsits throughout the country and, of course, throughout the world, on the internet at angelradio.co.uk. Go there and then you can choose a couple of methods of how to listen to us on the internet. Now, over the last couple of weeks, I've been having a very interesting correspondence with Jessie up in Scotland. And Jessie and I have been corresponding by email, and we've been talking about our love of music over the last couple of emails, actually. And Jessie introduced me most recently to the next bit of music, which is going to be a little bit of posh. We were talking about organ music. Well, strictly speaking, we were writing about organ music, but I guess with emails now you talk, I don't really understand it. But anyway, Jessie and I were waffling, there you go, about organ music, and I happened to mention that I liked the Camille Saint-Saëns organ piece very much indeed. But she put me onto a piece that I have not heard before. It is by a gentleman called Vidor. It is from his Symphony No. 5, and it is the Toccata. I gather from what Jessie has told me that this is very popular at weddings in the United Kingdom, but I have to say, I thought it was rather grand when I listened to it, and the first one I listened to was just played on the organ, and then the second one was with the whole orchestra. Both were really fine versions, but Jessie has said that the preference is for just organ only, so have a listen and see what you think.
Thank you.
Charles Marie Vidor, the Toccata from his Symphony No. 5, has played on the organ at Ripon Cathedral, and the organist there, Kerry Beaumont. This week's little bit of posh. Actually, it was a big bit of posh. I really like that. And thanks to Jesse up there in Scotland. And Jesse, I'll be writing soon.
I've got a viper in this box, you know.
Really? Good gracious me.
Oh, yes. It's not an asp.
Oh, good.
Looks rather like one, but it's not one. No, I wouldn't have an asp.
No, I suppose not.
Some people can't tell the difference between a viper and an asp. More fool them, I say.
Yes.
Cleopatra had an asp, I haven't.
Yes, well, I'm glad of that.
I don't want one either. No, I'd rather have a viper myself.
Yes, well, that's all right then, isn't it?
But it's not that they're cheaper to run, because if anything, a viper is more voracious than the asp. My viper eats like a horse.
Like a horse, eh?
Yes, I'd like a horse. I could do with horse. Well, nothing against horses. But mind you, I could never get horse into a little box like this.
Yes, that would be a bit difficult.
No, no. You couldn't cram a horse into a little box like that. It's not a horse box. A viper, yes, but a horse, no.
I realise that.
But it's just about right for a viper, this box. Or an ass.
Yes, quite good.
No good for a fish. Because you'd have all the water seeping through in no time. It's only cardboard, you see. It's not waterproof.
Yes, I see.
Oh, no. They haven't waterproofed cardboard yet. Or if they have, they haven't told me. Or if they've told me, I've forgotten one of the two. So it's no good for a fish. I wish it was, but it isn't. So there it is. It's no good for a fish. I haven't got a toad in here, if that's what you're thinking. You wouldn't catch me with a toad. I can't abide toads. Ugh. Vipers devour toads, I'm glad to say. Serpents hear through their jaws, you know. It's the bone structure that does it. Oh yes, there's no doubt about that. Oh, good gracious, yes, it is the bone structure.
Yes, well, I suppose it would be.
I haven't got a bee in here. I don't know why you think I've got a bee in here. There's no bee in my box. You have a listen. You'd soon hear it buzzing if there was. You can't hear no bee, can you?
Hey? I quite believe you. No thanks.
No fangs? There's no fangs on a bee, if that's what you mean. I've never seen a bee with fangs. Vipers have fangs. They're very fangy creatures, so are asps.
I said no thanks, not fangs.
Not fangs, no, not fangs. No, not fangs. No, bees never have fangs. You'll find they sting, but they never bite. No, serpents bite and bees sting. That is the way you tell the difference between a bee and a serpent.
Yes.
I haven't got a stoat in here, if that's what you're thinking. Some people think I've got a stoat in here. They are completely wrong. I haven't got a stoat in here, not by a long chalk. I can't say I fancy stoats, neither. I'd rather have a viper. They're easier to rear. Oh, yes, they're easier to rear, all right. Need you ask?
I'm trying to read the paper. Would you please be quiet?
Bees aren't quiet, bees buzz. But vipers are quiet. Listen, there's no noise from my viper, is there? Eh? You can't hear any noise from my viper, can you?
I wish you'd shut up!
Oh, yes, it's shut up all right. Don't worry. You wouldn't catch me letting a viper loose. Oh, no. Where are you going?
I'm moving, if you don't mind.
Why? I don't see where you want to go. There's plenty of room in here. It's not as though it's an ass.
If you must know, I'm finding your conversation a bit of a bore.
Bore? Was that a bore, you said?
Yes, bore. B-O-R-E, bore.
There's no bore in my box. I don't know why you should have thought I got a boy in here. I haven't got a boy in this box. Gracious, no. I can't abide boys. It's a viper, all right. It's not an ass.
I could say something now, but I'd probably get us taken off the air by Ofcom. That was Kenneth Williams and that was a piece called Knot and Asp, and that was also with Peter Brett. Time now for Day at Night. That is quite simply when we play a couple of songs from the great Doris Day at night. Why complicate it?
When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining.
Thank you. I prove how much I love you with each kiss, will you cross your heart and promise this, that it's more than just a thrill, that you love me and you will be true to me? I will give you all my love, dear, here and now, if you'll only make this solemn vow, that you mean the things you say, please be fair in every way, be true to me. I'm so helpless when you touch me, feeling feelings that I've never felt before. Oh, my darling, say you love me. If you love me, I'll be yours forevermore. So I beg you to be gentle with my heart. Darling, promise me we'll never part. Through each night and through each day, through the years that pass away, be true to me. No pretendo, se tu dueño, no soy nada, yo no tengo vanidad. Di mi vida, todo lo bueno, yo tan pobre que otra cosa puedo dar. So I beg you to be gentle with my heart. Darling, promise me we'll never part. Through each night and through each day, through the years that pass away, be true to me. Be true to me.
I know I'm going to get this wrong, but Brenda in Pathgelly, she chose the songs this week. That was Doris Day. Be True to Me, Sabora Me. We started off with When You're Smiling, and tucked in the middle there quite nicely, I thought, Brenda, My Love and Devotion. So thank you very much for selecting those three songs. And we'll have another day at night sequence for you around about the same time next week, usually around about 10 minutes into the second hour of the program.
Entertains and syncopates Angel Radio.
Thank you. to find with you on my mind from now on. I thought we'd play a while, forget and say goodbye, but the memories of your smile just makes me want to cry. I'll be blue just thinking of you and loving you too from now on.
Waving his stick at the orchestra, and I'll be blue just thinking of you. You're listening to Beagle at Night with me, RB, and we've been watching a lot of good television. I think this coming weekend it's the last in the present series of All Creatures Great and Small, which I have really enjoyed. And but I'm getting concerned now, because I think coming up shortly is going to be Call the Midwife, and regular listeners to this program will know that I have lived my life for the last couple of years on tenterhooks about Sister Monica Joan, and I keep reading things so much so on the Daily Mirror website that I've actually stopped reading the Daily Mirror website now, and I'm very worried about Sister Monica Joan. So I'm sort of looking forward to Call the Midwife coming back, but they really can't do anything with that lady, because I should just be totally destitute and prostrate if they do. Because I just love that character so much, and I love Judy Parfitt as well. Really brilliant actress. She was very good. I always get my Indian programs mixed up. I think it was The Jewel in the Crown that she was in, with her and Rosemary Leach, another great actress. I think it was Jewel in the Crown, and they were just brilliant in that. I just loved them in that so much. And, of course, Judy Parfitt been in Midsummer Murders on more than one occasion as well, so do like that. So I'm a little bit worried about all of that, but that's my problem, not yours. And, of course, you're all going crazy now. Excuse me, I'm just going to open up a bottle of water. It might fizz a bit. There you go. You're probably all going crazy now, because you're thinking, well, we saw this weeks ago, so we're not worried about it, but I am. And people say, you know, they want me to share myself, so there you go, that's what I'm doing. But I have enjoyed All Creatures Great and Small immensely. Okay, shall we? Oh, talking of All Creatures Great and Small, how about this?
Oh,
for Petra in Witness, she said I wouldn't play it. So I said, well, I will do, and if I do, you can give some money to the paper play next time it comes around. So that's what Petra said she would do. All things bright and beautiful from St. Michael's Singers in Coventry. Thanks, Petra.
Angel Radio, thank you for your donations, which help to keep us on air.
Go and tell my secrets to. In my room, in my room, in this world, I lock out all my worries and my fears in my room, in my room, do my dreaming and by scheming.
That's the title. It was done originally by the Beach Boys, of course, but it was sung there rather nicely, I thought, by Jody Miller. Now, here's a lady that also sings very nice as well. I've been a fan of hers ever since I first heard her sing. Here's Nonna Muscuri. Ooh. Muscuri and Mia Mera Acoma, and she was also singing there with the trio Canzone. Now, to tell us all about the prettiest girl in school, here's Tony Perkins.
Did my homework, took a shower, I'll be ready in an hour. I've got a date with the prettiest girl in school. Have to dress up, can't look sloppy. Got the keys for Dad's jalopy. I've got a date with the prettiest girl in school. Saw her in the schoolyard, fell in love in history. Asked her out in English, she said yes in biology. I gotta get home by 11, but till then I'll be in heaven. I've got a date with the prettiest girl in school. Prettiest girl in school. I've got a date with the prettiest girl in school. Saw her in the schoolyard, fell in love in history. Asked her out in English, she said yes in biology.
I said yes in biology.
I gotta get home by 11, but till then I'll be in heaven. I've got a date with the prettiest girl in school.
Got a date with the prettiest girl in school.
I've got a date with the prettiest girl.
Thank you.
Course, to us, it's known now as the theme to Pam and Keith's Thursday afternoon program, but that was Horst Tchaikovsky and A Walk in the Black Forest, and before that, Tony Perkins and The Prettiest Girl in School. I wonder if that's the same Tony Perkins that was the actor. I don't know. I sort of listened to the voice. It sort of sounds a little bit like him. Didn't do much singing in the film Psycho, and it was also in Planet of the Apes, wasn't he, I seem to recall, and he certainly didn't sing in that film, but I don't know, there's just something about his voice that makes me rather suspect that it is one and the same. I'll check out on the internet and see what I can find out about that.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain, what a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above, the sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain, yeah. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in the rain. Dancing singing in the rain.
No, there was just a little bit at the end there that I should wait for. That was Singing in the Rain from Gene Kelly. Of course, I saw Tommy Steele in that at the London Palladium. I'm thinking it was probably 1983, something like that. I remember Tommy Steele was in it, and Roy Castle was very good, and also Sarah Payne, who was one of my favourite singers at the time. I'd seen her a number of times. She played Jenny Lind in Barnum, and she was in it as well. She played the Lena Lamont part, and Kathy Selton was played by, I think it was Danielle Carson. I think those were the big four. It's a very, very good stage show as well. I think it ran for quite some time. I think it was certainly a good couple of years. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And, of course, Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly. I mean, a lot of people say the best musical ever, and I don't know if I totally agree with that, but it's certainly up there on my list. My two favourite musicals are fairly recent. One of them is the aforementioned Barnum, because I'm just an enormous fan of anything Michael Crawford does. And the other one is the Rocky Horror Show, which I absolutely love and adore. And I've seen so many productions of that around the world. And I saw the original production back in the King's Road back in the day. And it was really very, very good with Tim Curry and Richard O'Brien. And Patricia Quinn and Little Nell. Raina Burton was there as well, I seem to recall. I feel as though I'm missing somebody out who's very important. Jonathan Adams, he was the narrator. It was a very, very good show. So I'm a sort of little bit biased with musicals, because my two musicals are sort of relatively recent. But hey, nothing wrong with Singing in the Rain and all of the musicals from the 40s and the 50s.
Don't rest your head, don't lie down upon your bed. While the moon drifts in the skies,
beautiful, absolutely perfect, practically perfect in every way. In fact, Julie Andrews from the film Mary Poppins, and that was called Stay Awake. And I don't mind if you fall asleep during the course of the program. A lot of people actually tell me they do fall asleep during the course of the program, and then they wake up and they carry on listening to it until the early hours, and they fall asleep a couple of times. I'm a terrible sleeper at the moment. I wake up so many times during the course of the night that it is absolutely ridiculous. And once my mind gets active and going, then sleep is just absolutely lost, which I don't quite know what to do about that. Don't want to take any pills or anything. And I can't lay off coffee, because I don't drink coffee now, apart from in the mornings. I very rarely have a cup of coffee after breakfast. Sometimes I have a cup of coffee after dinner if we go out in a restaurant, but I haven't been out in a restaurant for years, not since before COVID. So Well, actually, sorry, that's not quite true, but been out a couple more times in the last year, but not much. But pretty much done away with coffee. I still can't sleep. Ah, well, hey-ho, perhaps this will help.
Rain whistle blowing makes a sleepy noise. Underneath their blankets go all the girls and at the engine. Tony rings the bell. Seymour swings the lantern to show that all is well. Rockin', rollin', ridin' out along the bay, all bound for morning town, many miles away.
Maybe it is raining where our train will ride. All of the little travelers are warm and snug inside.
Rockin', rollin', ridin' out along the bay, all round for morning town, many miles away.
Somewhere there is sunshine, somewhere there is day,
somewhere there is morning town,
many miles away.
Rockin', rollin', ridin' out along the bay, all bound for morning town, many miles away. All bound for morning town,
many miles away.
I think I'm right in saying that was the original version of Morning Town Ride by the Limelighters from 1962. Malvina Reynolds, of course, wrote it, but she didn't record it until quite a few years later. But, of course, the big hit of the day was undoubtedly with The Seekers. But hopefully that will have... I played that because it's got Lullaby in the title, but I'm not sure it was much of a lullaby. But rather nice, wasn't it? This is definitely not a lullaby. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Ron Grainer and his orchestra. Ron Grainer wrote an awful lot of themes for television. I think he was the one that wrote the theme for Doctor Who. I'm not totally sure on that, but I think it was him. But that was called Happy Joe, and that was the theme from Comedy Playhouse. So there you go. I'm not exactly void of information. I think he did do Doctor Who. Diddle-a-dum, 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 diddle-a-dum. I think I'm cracking up. Time for me to go, quite frankly. Thank you so much for joining me for the last 2 hours. Without your company, I would just be here talking to myself. So I thank you very much for spending the time with me. And I hope you'll do it again around about the same time next week. Until then, as always, have yourselves a good week and a safe week. And may I be the first to wish you a very good morning, except you, Brad. And I wish you a very good evening.
But a dream, I hope I never waken. It's more than I could bear to find that I'm forsaken. If you're a fantasy, then I'm content to be in love with lovely you and pray my dream comes true. I long to kiss you, but I would not dare. I'm so afraid that you may vanish in the air. So, darling, if our romance should break up, I hope I never wake up. If you are but a dream, if you